Welcome to Blackhawks Insider, the official podcast of the Chicago Blackhawks, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive. I'm Carter Baum, and coming up on today's episode, Colby Cohen and I sit down with interim head coach Derek King, a lengthy interview with the longtime coach of the Rockford IceHogs, called up coaching the Chicago Blackhawks the rest of the way through the NHL campaign. He opens up about his path through the NHL, how he got into coaching, what it was like to get the call that he was wanted to be the interim head coach here in Chicago, and much more. All that coming up right now on Blackhawks Insider, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. It's all about the drive.
Blackhawks season is just around the corner. There's nothing like a season change to remind you to make sure your car is running safely. Your local Chevy dealers have you covered this season with all your service needs. Stay on top of all your standard vehicle maintenance to keep your car in its best shape. Schedule your oil changes, your brake checks, and tire rotations today. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com to find your local dealer. Drive what Kane and Taves drive.
Welcome to Blackhawks Insider. Carter Baum, Colby Cohen back with you once again. We have a great interview today with interim head coach Derek King. But before we get to that, first and foremost, I want to at least acknowledge that we haven't done a show in the last 2 weeks. There's been bigger things going on in the organization than you and I, Colby, sitting here talking about hockey, talking about what's going on the ice. Of course, first, we have to give commend Kyle Beach for his courage, everything that's transpired over the last weeks, months, years of his life going forward. We wanted to take a little bit of time to kind of just reflect. It's been a deep couple weeks, the Jenner and Block independent investigation coming out, a lot of changes in the organization since then. This really isn't the platform, I think, for you and I to even talk about this. There's 100+ pages of in-depth, very difficult reading of the failures that came from it way back in 2010. I would encourage anyone to go read that report if you're interested in it. Stan Bowman, Al McIsaac, both have left the organization. Anyone associated with the 2010 incident, the failures that took place, gone from the organization. Kyle Davidson in as interim general manager. Things continue going bad on the ice, and he makes a big call on Saturday. He says, everything that's gone on, it's the message isn't getting through. Decides to relieve head coach Jeremy Colleton of his duties, as well as assistants Thomas Mattel, Sheldon Brookbank. And in comes Derek King, who's been in Rockford for the last 5 years as an assistant, then an interim head coach, then the head coach for the last few years. He takes over this team, and it's really capping off a very busy couple weeks for this organization. But Colby, we've seen it in the last two games, the first two under Derek King as interim head coach. His mission coming in was to have this team play in light, just lighten the mood. He's telling jokes in the locker room, trying to break some of that tension that this team has had over the first couple weeks of the season with the record, with things going on in around the organization, everything that's happened. He wants the players to just enjoy the game once again. And we saw it. Two wins, an overtime win, a shootout win. Not pretty, not perfect for the entire stretch of the game, but definitely some progress for this team going forward, trying to turn a page and really start a new chapter in this organization overall after what the last few weeks have held.
Yeah, well, I want to go back and just talk a little bit about Kyle Davidson first, because I'm so impressed with this guy. I mean, you know, young guy who really sees things a little bit differently and is not afraid to make his own decisions. And obviously, he relieved Jeremy Colleton of his duties. You know, never an easy thing to do. You're relieving a human of their job. They have kids, they have families, they have their home. You know, the pressure that comes on social media, and kids now have to read about, you know, their dad on social media. I mean, there's a whole human aspect to this that gets weighed in. And yes, it's the business of sports, it's results business, but
it's part of it. I mean, these are human beings we're talking about, and we're all, you know, drastically changing someone's life when we make a decision like that. So, you know, that happened. Kyle decides he wants to bring up Derek King, which I think was a bold move. I really do.
You have a guy in Mark Crawford on the as an assistant coach who's coached in the Stanley Cup.
I mean, so I just think Kyle has a real serious understanding of what this group needs. I think Kyle's not a guy who's just going to do things because that's how they're supposed to be done. He's not afraid to do things differently. He thinks a little bit differently. He's incredibly intelligent. He's a tough negotiator. I mean, I look at some of the contracts that he's handled. I look at Brandon Hagel's contract at $1.5 million a year. Kyle Davidson handled the negotiations for that contract as assistant general manager. That's a really team-friendly contract. Mm-hmm. You know, I've talked to Kyle numerous times about his evaluations of players. You know, he wants and has a vision for the way he wants to see hockey players fit into a hockey team. And I've just been really impressed with how he's not wavering from any of it. Every time I talk to him, he's you know, clear and concise in his message. He's confident. You know, I'm excited to see what the team can do with Kyle at the helm as interim general manager. I think he's going to get a really good opportunity to be general manager here. You know, whenever they decide, you know, what the future holds, obviously above our pay grade.
Yeah.
But again, I wanted to make sure we kind of touched on that just because of what I've seen. And again, yeah, it's great when you get two wins, but, you know, we're not here for these two wins. We're here for longevity. We're here for success. You know, we're here to claw out of the start that hasn't gone all that well for the team. So fast forward to, you know, the personality and what you're seeing out of Derek King. I mean, it's been really enjoyable. It's great talking to him. He's such a genuine, honest guy. So when he's talking to media members, when he's talking to TV, whomever, you know, you're getting the blunt truth from him. And I just think it's really cool. I mean, he was such a successful player in the NHL that you can just see how confident he is, or maybe not confident, you know, because he's not, you know, confident, yes. He's not arrogant, which I think is unique in this business. I think in order to be sometimes at this level, you have to have a certain level of arrogance. But he's just so comfortable in his own skin that we're getting to see the same person that his family gets to see at home. And I just personally, I like being around that. His personality is infectious. And I just like the way the atmosphere feels around the rink, the office, everything, you know, with our two new leaders here between Kyle and Derek.
It's funny because I think he's such a down-to-earth guy, and you wouldn't tell me if I'm reading too much into this, but you have someone who played over 800 games in the NHL. And I feel like more often than not in today's world, a player of that caliber with that much NHL experience could get a job immediately, prominent on an AHL staff, or even as an assistant or as advisor on an NHL staff. He finished his pro career as a player coach, doing both a hybrid role at the IHL level, what then effectively is, you know, now the AHL, the two leagues kind of becoming one. But he cut his teeth there for a little bit, took a few years off after he got done playing, and then had a lengthy career in the AHL as an assistant, has really cut his teeth at that level. And you can see that in just the way he approaches the game. He's not the big flashy guy. He's very much a team first player, putting himself, other members of the coaching staff before him, and really kind of building his way to this level. And I mean, you'll hear it from him in just a few minutes, but getting a call that he was happy to hear, but not one that he was actively seeking or looking for, because he was very happy with where he's at, the role he has. And I think that just speaks to who he is. He's not someone who's trying to break barriers and get to that next level. He's someone who just wants to contribute no matter where he's at, no matter the level, no matter the team. He wants to be a part of something, and that really comes through in his personality.
I mean, he's a partner. That's it. He doesn't want to be, this intimidating figure. He wants to be part of the group. And he was like that as a player. I was able to connect with some of his old teammates and some people, and I'm not gonna use names or whatever. But again, you know, Derek King scored 40 goals in the NHL one year, and all he wanted to do was just be one of the guys. All he wanted to do was be around the team, you know, be on the road, go out to, you know, have some fun with his friends, his teammates, his family. And it's just, he's carried that with him. And I think that's what makes him a great coach in the American League as well, because he wants to be part of the process of partnering with the GM, with the head coach in the NHL, with the assistant coaches to do what's best for the organization. And, you know, his attitude as a player has carried with him into his coaching career. And that's why he won't be without a job, no matter where he wants to go, what level he wants to go. There's always going to be a staff that has room for a guy like Derek King because of the fact that he is a partner and he is a teammate and he puts his teammates before he puts himself. And that's already starting to be clear to everybody in Chicago based on his media availability for the last couple of days. All he does is praise everybody else. He'll never, ever, ever take credit. And he probably never will. The Blackhawks could win 15 in a row, and he'll never take 1% of credit for it. He won't. We'll see what happens, but he won't. And we're going to talk to him here shortly, and we'll try to prod him and see if we can get him to take some credit for some things. But I would put money on the fact that he won't take credit for any of them. And again, it's you know, I'm excited for him on a personal level. Him and I have you know, developed a good relationship, played golf together. You know, I was fortunate to get paired up with him back in the beginning of the year when we did a team outing. And, you know, I smile every time I see him having success. It makes me happy personally, and not saying that matters to anybody, but it's great to see. It really is. Like, you just don't have these moments in sports enough anymore. So when you do, you know, you got to enjoy him.
And he's here for the rest of the season. Kyle Davidson said that he's got the rest of the way. There's, as we sit here today, 68 games left, I believe. So this is
good
not
math.
Like a
good math.
It was 69 before.
Oh,
and then
no,
we played
I'm not,
one game.
I'm not
so,
saying you're wrong. No. I'm saying good math. I
just hope I'm right. Otherwise,
I couldn't get there.
Otherwise, we're just sitting here talking about a number that isn't correct. But he's got the rest of the way. It's not like he's got a couple weeks to turn this around or to come in and make wholesale changes. This is really the long play, and really trying to see what he can do, not only to guide this team this year, but to see if that voice resonates. I mean, there's been no indication whatsoever one way or the other. I don't even think there's been a conversation had about what the next head coach of the Blackhawks, permanent head coach, looks like. That's going to be a discussion in the offseason. But anytime an interim comes in, I mean, if there's a message that resonates, if it sticks around, that's a very easy decision to start to make. And I think, you know, whether Derek King wants that permanent job or not down the road, he has a long runway to not only show what he can do here, but show what he can do with these players. And, you know, as you said, show what he can do for the team, because I think that's what he cares about most. And it's been fun to watch the first two games. You can see the pressures maybe a little bit off. The guys have woken up a little bit. Anytime you have a head coach get fired, it's a wake-up call. But there's also a little bit of relaxed, not stress, but the pressure. There's a lot of pressure that built up over the course of the first month of the season with everything going on, with the results not going their way, when, you know, a bunch of offseason moves came in and trying to put this team back in a win now mentality. But you can definitely see, just with the mood of the guys walking around, their media availabilities, there's a weight lifted a little bit. And I think that's important. And you're seeing it reflect on the ice with how they're playing and just kind of relying on instinct at times and just playing and going out and having fun.
I think that's how Derek played the game. And I think that's how he liked to be coach. And I give him a lot of credit, because I know a lot of former players that have turned managers. I've played for GMs that were former coaches. I've played for coaches that were former players. You know, it's all one big circle, Carter. And there are some coaches that I've had that definitely would have been pissed if they were treated the way he treated us when he was a player. And so now he's a coach, if that made sense. Mm-hmm. Like, and so I give Derek King a lot of credit because he's very much stayed true to himself and stayed true to what he liked as a player, things he learned from different coaches. He's talked a little bit about Al Arbor, Pat Quinn being guys who were tough, but he took things from as a player, as a coach.
He got to say he would annoy those guys as a player. And now he gets to see the other side of it. He's exactly. going to have guys annoying him.
So he just, his self-awareness is probably one of his greatest strengths as a person, which translates into being a good coach or part of being a good coach.
Well, he's got an amazing story and there's no one better to tell it than Derek King himself. So we'll send it to a very deep conversation with him. I mean, we touched on everything, Colby. We hit on his kids, his personal life, his coming up through the league, through the minors as a coach. And I think, like you said, his personality is just going to shine through.
Yeah, you're going to want to listen to the whole thing here today because you're not going to get an opportunity to go this in depth with an NHL head coach, probably anywhere in the league. I mean, honestly, I can't think of the last time where I saw a head coach sit down with a podcast or a TV interview and, you know, be this forthcoming and this genuine and this personal, really. And so, you know, if you are somebody that listens to this podcast, definitely stay with us here through this time with Derek King and make sure you, you know, pass this around and send it to others because this is a great opportunity to really get to know what Derek King is like.
Joined now by Derek King. And Derek, I mean, I imagine you've had quite the last few days. We're sitting here Wednesday afternoon. Your first real back-to-back practices you'll have, an optional today on Wednesday, yeah. But practices on Thursday. quite the week, a busy week. I mean, at this time last week, you were getting ready in Rockford for the home opener, yep. a big night, Saturday yeah. night, renovated BMO Center in Rockford. And boy, things changed. I want, before we get into you and just helping the fans understand your story, take me back to Saturday. What are you doing on Saturday morning, I assume, when you get that call in the day?
I got off the ice with Anders, and I had a text message from Kyle. And he just said, when you get a second, you get a minute, give me a call. I'd like to talk to you and Anders.
No big deal.
Thing.
So I'm, you know, and I wasn't thinking that. Like, I was more thinking, okay, they need a player or who do you think? Usually that's the call. Like Stan calls me, it's... Or he'd call Anders and be like, okay, we need to talk. Who's available? Who do you think deserves it or what have you? So that's what I was thinking. So he goes, are you guys in your office alone? I go, yeah. So then I start to, you know, what's going on here? And he goes, well, then that's when he said, just wanted to let you guys know we're going to release Jeremy of his duties. And at 1:30, we're going to announce it. And so it was kind of a pause, and I looked at Anders. He's looking at me, and then all of a sudden he said, well, we would like you to take over as interim head coach. I almost fell out of my chair. I was like, I looked at Anders. Anders looked at me, and I'm just like, oh, my God, what's going on here? Like, you know, you don't – and then the emotions start. You know, I had my head between my knees trying to breathe, had the paper bag out. I just was like, this is nuts. I can't believe this is happening. And I've talked to you about this, Colby. I've never pursued an NHL job. I love what I do. I love the kids in Rockford. I love developing them. I love telling them stories and helping them get through the day or get through their career or even life lessons of all the mistakes I made and then this. And I was just like, well, I'm not going to say no. I'm pretty happy down in Rockford. I got to, you know, and I'm here to help the organization. I'm not here just to be whatever they need me to do. I have that, always had that in my mind. And after I just was like blown away. And then Anders was a little blown away too that
he's the guy in Rockford.
He's taken over Rockford, which I think is great because I think he does a fabulous job. And he's helped me out so much, and he's ready for it. And I didn't know if I was ready for it, but he seemed to think I was ready for it. So here we are. Now I'm on my first podcast.
Do you remember your first NHL call up as a player? And, you know, when you think about that, how does it compare to the call that you got from Kyle?
Oh, my first call up, I was in playing junior. My last year junior, I was in Oshawa in the OHL. And they were in Montreal, the Islanders, and they called me up. And I was like, I was pretty nervous. And then I get to the rink. I fly from Oshawa to the rink. They don't have hockey pants for me or shin pads. So I had to use a pair of Montreal Canadian hockey pants, and they put orange tape over the red stripe. And I had these shin pads on that I don't even think both of them. One was a size like 13 and one was a 14. And then I played the game. Started the national anthem. Mats Naslin was next to me, and I was nervous. So now we go to this call, and I've never been so nervous in my entire life after the call to when I first got on the ice with the guys that morning.
After you got the call, did you go home? Were you around the dogs, the wife?
Like, nobody was home. They were in Cedar Rapids. I knew I had to get home to get the dogs out. And then we had a dog sitter coming over at 6 because of the game. But my family was gone. They didn't come home till Sunday. So, and they didn't come home till later on, so they couldn't even come to the game.
And had you stayed coaching in Rockford, you would have coached against your son that night, or was it a different
night? No, that night.
That was the game,
yeah.
Because you and I talked about him getting called up.
Yeah.
And you were unsure if it was just an extra body.
Yeah, he was a 7th D, and he wasn't sure.
And then when does he find out that he's playing and then lets you know he's playing? And just for everybody at home, and I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about this more, but Derek has a son who played for the Indiana Fuel, correct?
Fort Wayne.
Oh, sorry, Wayne.
Right. Fort Wayne Comets.
I'll let you.
No, go ahead.
And then he gets called up to Grand Rapids in the American League, just to give a little bit of context to what we're talking about.
So he texts me, he goes, I think I might be playing. So, and I know, I don't want to say it like, but I know the head coach. I've coached with him. So he called me the day he called up. DJ says, listen, I just called up your kid. We need defensemen here. We're like dire. So he knows my kid. He knows how he plays. So, and then that morning of the game, before all this happened, my kid texted me and said, Dad, I might be playing against you tonight. I was like, well, keep your head up. And then Ben Simon, a good friend, called me and that and said, listen, I'm going to dress him tonight. So just so you know. And so I was a little nervous. Like, you know, I've had him he played an exhibition game against us when he was with the Wolves. And then he played for us an exhibition game this year when we were playing Iowa. So I've had him on the bench and I've seen him on the other side of it. But I was nervous. I was nervous probably more for him. Just hopefully he shows well and does well. But then I ended up watching up in the perch. So,
and that would have been his first American League regular season game, right? That's a big deal.
Yeah. And it was nice just to sit up instead of being on the bench. I just sat up like a parent and just took it all in. But I was proud of him. It was good. He did a good job.
You mentioned your first call-up. Colby asked you about that. It's funny because Patrick Kane was asked after the game on Sunday. He said, you know, what do you know about Derek King? And he said, well, you know, I pulled up his hockey DB, 830 games, 614 points. He got it right off the bat, because if Patrick Kane looks at stats for about two seconds, it's locked in upstairs. But you had a long NHL career. I mean, you're one of, I think I looked it up, 300 people at the time you retired to hit 830 games in the NHL. Yeah. More have done it since. But you took a longer path into coaching. You kind of broke in a little bit, I think, as a player coach, right?
Yeah, I was Reggie Dunlop for a couple years. I just didn't have the leather coat.
But that was in Grand Rapids, right? And then a couple years later, you're an assistant with the Marlies for a period of years.
I was there about 6 years, I think, and then they let me go.
You let you go. And then what I think is interesting, and I see this as a nice parallel, but you get the call on Saturday, this past Saturday, that you're going to play against your kid, but you took an assistant coach job in the OHL after your time with the Marlies and had to take a step back from that because that same kid was breaking into his career. And
yeah,
you said it was a little tough on the family and you yeah. had to put family first.
Yeah, it was. And I thought we could do it. I mean, I had a year left in my Marley's contract, so I didn't have to work. They were paying me. But I, talking with Dave Poulin, who was our GM at the time, and we're still close. And he just said, listen, if you can do anything, just stay involved somehow in hockey. So your name's out there. And then I was actually putting my resume out for head jobs in the OHL, and I never got any of them. So karma, right? Yeah, right back at them. But then I put it in for Owen Sound. They didn't go with me, but they asked me if I'd be an assistant. And I probably should have stepped back and really thought about it, but I thought, I'll take it. And I probably jumped a little too quick on that, but I did take it and I enjoyed it up there. There are beautiful people up there. The fact that I was living 3 hours away, it was hard to get back every day. Like here, I can get back if I want to.
Yeah.
It's only over an hour. Depends on what the kids are, if they're screaming or anything. But so I went up there and it was my oldest kid. Plus I had the twins that were very young and it was a big year. It was his draft year out of minor hockey. And he was struggling with me not being around. And it wasn't the fact that I'm up in the stands yelling at him, you know, banging on the glass. It was just, I think, just more. He's kind of like me, too. He just needs to know that you're around. And I'm like that, too. I need to know my family's there. I don't have to talk to them, but I know they're there. And the little guys were having a hard time, like, when's dad coming home? And I'd be like, I'd see them once, and then I would go back. I wouldn't see them for another week. And I apologized. I felt bad for the kids on the team, and I felt bad for the coach that was Ryan McGill at the time, who's now in Vegas. I felt terrible for ownership because they put it out there for me to. They needed me to help, and I let them down. But I couldn't let my family down. So and it worked out. I spent a lot of time with my kids . And then next thing I know it, I'm talking to Mark Bernard on the phone in the summer, and I came in for an interview, and Rockford was the new place.
You start out in Rockford as an assistant a year after that stint in Owen mm-hmm. Sound. You start out in Rockford as an assistant. You kind of get your legs under you there working with Jeremy Colleton. He gets called to the NHL team. You take over in Rockford. What has the last 4 or 5 years been like for you in Rockford, getting to know that system, working yeah. in the organization and growing as a coach? Because, I mean, that's a big opportunity to go from yeah. an assistant to a head in the AHL.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, I started with actually my first year was with Ted Den. So when he was let go, Bernie had called me and just said, listen, can you come into the office early? This was at the end of the year. And I was like, sure, I can come in. Because we do our end of the meetings with mm-hmm. Bernie,
right?
Mark Bernard. And he tells us, he writes up whether it's a good or bad report. When I walked in that room, Stan and Bernie were in there, nobody else. And I was just like, oh, all right.
Yeah. A player, those aren't,
you know that.
You walk into yeah. those meetings, it's one of two things, and you just assume it's yeah. the bad one.
It's the bad one. It's not like you're invited to my daughter's wedding yeah. or something like that.
This is usually you're getting sent down, and you're this or that.
Stan and Mark just said, hey, you're okay. We just want to let you know that we've relieved Ted Dent from his duties. To relieve Ted Dent or that duty conversation. And he goes, we'll be looking for a new head coach. And I said, well, I'd like to, apply for it. He goes, yeah, no problem. So, but obviously they hired yeah. Jeremy.
And I know you're humble, so you won't say this, but it says a lot about your character, your history as a player, your ability to connect with players and people in general, other coaches, because it's not normal necessarily for a head coach to get fired and the assistant coach to stay in place.
Yeah.
Because people generally want their own people
in. Yeah.
And I'm now seeing this happen in Rockford because, Jeremy realized what an asset you were and the organization realized that you needed to stay in place. So you were given the chance to create your own path, which, mm-hmm. again, not always afforded in sports. Now I'm seeing it with Mark Crawford and I'm seeing sort of that camaraderie between the two of you
yeah.
and that ability to come in and just work with other people.
Yeah.
is not normal. And you've been around sports longer than I have as a player, as whatever, but I've seen this happen. I saw it in Providence with Bruce Cassidy, and I can't remember the head coach at the time, but like he was fired and then things blew up. Like it wasn't like your scenario. So I'm going to brag for you because I know you'll never do it.
Keep bragging. You know, I like it.
This speaks to your ability to, you know, work with people and be, you know, a partner and collaborate and, you know, get on with others.
Yeah. And I think you, you know, again, it's, I don't toot my horn. I don't try to do that. I'm not tooting it. It's just, I think for me, the big thing is I never go into a job. And I remember I've had coaches tell me, you know, even if you're a head guy, nobody works for me. Even getting this job, I don't look at people work for me. We work together. And if we work together well, then everybody profits from it. And meaning profits as the team, the players. So there's no point of me coming in here thinking, Mark Crawford, you work under me. That's not the attitude. Mark Crawford's been great with me. He's helped so much with me making that transition. And we continue to have a good relationship. It's funny with Crow, with the Marlies, we used to take players overseas over to Europe and go to the European camps when in August before our camps. And one of them was Zurich. And I went and I would go with a couple players and we would practice with them. And it was Crawford.
Oh,
wow.
And we had a great time there. So we've met, and he's coached against me, and I know of him. I don't know if I played against him, but he's a little older than me. Hope he's not listening to this. But so we have a relationship there, and I thought he was fabulous. And I just remember when I was over there, I was just watching him and listening to him and how he presented in front of the guys, which I thought was great. And then coming here, meeting him through when Jeremy took over just at camps, but now actually working with him. I mean, it's been unbelievable. He's just a smart hockey, and he's a good person.
Yeah, and speaking of Crow, you know, watching practice the last couple of days, it's funny because you were doing a drill to start practice the other day where there was about 12 guys going at once. Mm-hmm. Three defensemen, three forwards on both ends. And to somebody who doesn't, you know, watch a lot of NHL practice, it looked like disaster chaos. But to you, to Crow, to me, who's been around it, you know, Carter, you've seen enough. It was like art. I mean, this is what an NHL practice looks like. The puck moving. Yeah. I mean, it's an actual art form. And I've kind of noticed that's probably the biggest change that I, you know, one thing I've seen is the way you guys have sort of run them through these practices, even though there's only been a couple.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just been like the puck movement, the pace has been high, quick, and fast. And it looks like it's an art form when it happens well.
Yeah. It's when you're at this level, it does happen well. And it should. I mean, as you drop down in levels, and I've used some of the drills even with kids, and you know, it's like, well, the whistle start all over again,
and running the American into each
League,
other.
Yeah, the American League, not as bad,
50, but you're 50, 50, some 50, teams better than others, right?
At this level, because they're so flat, sharp, quick. But that's the way I approach it. When you start drills or practices, quick pace, a lot of passing, a lot of shooting, everything is work, work, work. There's days where it might be slowed down, and you take some time, go to the board, or go through some system stuff, but anytime, like bang, 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 get these guys up and running. And you don't have to be out there for an hour and a half, 2 hours. It's 45 minutes tops, half. Like that practice there was half an hour. We never stopped. It was whistle, next drill, whistle. We prepped them before we came out, and it went bang, 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 bang. You guys are done. If you want to stay out and do some skill stuff, Keener or Cooney and anybody else, you're good. And I should have filmed it and see the – I'll go on Live Barn. Show the kids that this is how this drill should be.
Yeah.
But it was good. And I'm bringing some new drills. That's all. It's a couple of shooters or whatever it is. But I think a little change like that helps the guys.
It's funny that just the little change can help so much. And I think a lot has been made about the first two games, back-to-back wins, one in overtime, one in a shootout. Everyone's asking the players, what's the big thing that changed? What was that moment where you walked in and said, guys, we're going to do this instead of this? And I think in talking to you, you haven't had time to even look at systems or what's going on. I mean, you stepped in, you had a morning skate, your first game, a 30-minute practice, your second game. It's just, I think, going back to what you were saying about everyone working together and just your mentality, I think that's coming through in the team, and they're playing together. They're playing a little more, you know, the stick's not being gripped as tight with some of the pressure. It's just incredible what a little moment like that can do for a team that, quite frankly, has had a very rough month start to the year.
Yeah, it's been a rough go. And I think what, like Colby was saying, like, I think that, and I've been on the other end where I've gotten a few coaches fired myself. So I know when a new coach comes in, it's like the players take that personal. It's like, you know, they liked, whether it's Pat Quinn or Al Arbor gets fired or whoever, the players take that personal. So you know you're going to get the effort. So now it's just like, okay, let's put the effort together, combine it with, you know, have each other's back, play hard, you know, shorten your shifts, all the little things, the details of the game. I think they're starting to, they did a lot of that in the last couple of days. Hey, is it perfect? No. Is it at times you wonder, like, it gets a little ugly at times, but that's fine. The guys on the bench, there's energy, more energy, I guess, than I've seen. They're sticking together. They got a smile on their face. Like you said, they're not gripping their stick. They're taking a deep breath, and they're playing, like we like to say, they're playing a little freer now.
Well, I don't really have much else for you, and I know you're...
I've taken up all the time talking.
I know you're a busy guy. Yeah. We've kind of joked, you and I, about how your media muscles are getting a lot of work right now. Yeah. You're talking to the media a lot. I think you said the other day that the only time you've ever had to do quite as much is when you were sitting next to Matt Sundin and you had to crawl out under the media pile. Yeah. But my last question I have for you is of all the funny things going on around and the jokes about Walter White, you know, your lookalike from Breaking Bad. Yeah. You joked about the Ted Lasso thing. What's your favorite one? I mean, because we showed one on the Pros Game after we had you live last night. We did the side by side. I mean, there's some separated at birth there with you and Bryan Cranston.
I can't remember. Always remember that name, but I just always say the Breaking Bad guy,
Walter White.
I mean, I know it's. I guess that's who I look like, I guess. I don't know. But I just thought it was funny when my kids are getting Instagram from their buddies and they got pictures of Ted Lasso, which I just finished watching the series. And I think Ted Lasso's character everybody's character in that is great. But I just thought, Ted Lasso, come on. But I thought that was funny. But I think if I'm looking like anybody, it's the Breaking Bad for sure.
Well, last one for me, and then we'll let you get going. Another practice, couple games to plan for, but you touched on you're starting to pick up on some things. You're starting to see some things that maybe you want to tweak. What's your goal over the next couple games, weeks? What do you want to start seeing out of this team to take these first two games and start to make it a real run, start to put some real processes and habits in place that can make this sustainable?
I think the biggest habit here is the way we practice. And it's got to be short, quick pace, and get the stuff we need out of these guys. But game-wise, I just think we need to get through Arizona and then really sit down with the staff and talk about, you know, okay, where can we make an improvement? Or it's not like, I don't want to come in here and change everything. I think it's just a tweak. So I think maybe it's neutral zone. We tweak that a little bit and maybe that slows them down. Cause I think and it was real noticeable the last game in the third period, like Pittsburgh's fast. They came and we kind of backed off, but I think our neutral zone can be better there, which will be better for us not spending more time in our D zone. So then we don't really have to tweak that as much. But I think the thing is just to get through Arizona. Then we have a few days of practice where, okay, I'll talk with Crow and Cooney and the rest of the staff and say, okay, maybe we need to really work on that in practice. But again, not coming in here chest out and I have all the answers to systems and all that. There's no need to change right now. It's too much of a shock for these guys. Just let them play and let them feel the game.
Well, it'll get right back at it on Friday night. Arizona in town, a long road trip. I'm sure that's going to be nice, too, to be able to kind of have some time in a hotel with these guys and really get to know them a little more on a personal level, too.
Yeah, I think they've missed out on so much with the COVID and that chemistry. Yeah, and, you know, it's that road trip where everybody meets out after for dinner or after a game and you have some time off. You maybe head out for a couple of drinks together and then you hear the stories. And that's what this is all about. And I think they need that and they need to get out of town and just kind of, like I said, I'm always going to say, take a deep breath and just let everything drop and just go and enjoy a night with the guys and then get to know each other again. And then, yeah, maybe, play a few hockey games in the meantime.
Well, we appreciate the time. It's been a hectic week, I'm sure, for you, but yeah. An exciting one, no doubt. And we can't wait to see where this team continues to grow and under your guidance, where it can go from here.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me. Anytime. Love to come back.
That will do it for today's episode. For Colby Cohen, I'm Carter Baum. A special thanks once again to Derek King for his time. An exciting week for him, a busy week for him, nonetheless, trying to get everything settled both on and off the ice in his life and the new adjustment to the Blackhawks. So we appreciate his time, taking a little time of his day to speak with us. That'll do it. We'll see you next time on Blackhawks Insider, presented by Chevy Drive Chicago. Drive what Kane and Tapes drive.